Hello. Thank you for joining me for another session in our study of James. We have been going through the book of James over the past few weeks. And of course, we're looking at this even in a time when over the past few days, we've watched fighting break out in Israel after the terrorist attacks that Hamas conducted about 10 days ago or so. And we have seen the Israeli response to those attacks. And of course, anytime anything goes on in between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the whole region is set on edge, and it is a situation that is much like a powder keg. All it takes is a spark to set off something that would have worldwide repercussions. And so I think it's good that we're looking at the passage of scripture that we are today to understand that we need to live with the Lord's will in mind, and to understand that we need to be praying for his will, as well as being in submission to his will as we live our lives. Of course, I had the opportunity a few years ago to live overseas, and I lived in the Middle East. I spent some time in Jordan as well as in Northern Africa. And so learning Arabic and living among Muslims, I learned a term that was used often, and I had to learn to pick up the hidden meaning behind it. And so the term or the word that was used often is a word, inshallah. And inshallah literally means if Allah wills. And so, of course, Allah is the Arabic term for God. I just want to point out that in the Arabic translations of the scripture of the Bible, where the English translation would say God, the Arabic translation says Allah. So it's not an exclusively Muslim name that is used for God. But of course, oftentimes when we hear Allah, we think of the Muslim God, but I just want to point out that it doesn't necessarily have to refer to the Muslim God, which is a false God. They claim to be following the true religion, and they claim that both Judaism and Christianity have been corrupted, and that the Quran is the true word of God. We know that the Bible is the true word of God, both the Hebrew and Christian scriptures, which would be the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, divinely inspired by the living God, who has revealed to us, revealed himself to us through his scripture. Now, going back to that word inshallah, again, it literally means if Allah wills. But the term was used by many of the Muslims that I encountered, and most of the time it was used in making plans. So, you know, if I would say, let's go to lunch tomorrow, or you want to go hang out at a coffee shop Friday night or even Thursday night, which would be in their weekend, they would respond oftentimes with inshallah. Now, it might seem pious to us that one would say they would do something if their God wills, but oftentimes, in fact, most of the time that I encountered this term, it simply meant, I'll be there unless something better comes along. And so that's how they used it. They used it more of a way to get out of something that they may not have wanted to do, or they wanted to leave their plans open, so they would simply say, inshallah, meaning if Allah wills. Now, today we're going to look at James' instructions for us to say, if the Lord wills. Now, this does not need to become a byword or something that we just say unmeaningfully whenever we talk about plans, but it needs to be something that we mean from our heart. And let's just dive into the scripture. So we're going to be in James chapter 4 today, and we'll look at verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17 of James chapter 4. And as you find that in your copy of God's Word, I just want to say, I think that it is very relevant for us to look at this today, because we are living in times that have been predicted by Scripture, prophesied about in Scripture. Now, we may not, you know, I don't think that we are in the tribulation yet. I don't think that those of us, our believers, will be in the tribulation. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back for his bride before the tribulation starts, and so the church will be raptured. However, in Scripture, we see references to birth pangs. We see references to in relation to the end of the world. And as we think about that, as I've said before to you and to others, the contractions when it comes time for a baby to be born, they get closer together and they become more intense. And so as this continues on, as the world continues to march toward its inevitable end, we will see things get worse, and we will see things, different things happen closer together. And I would say over the past 10 to 15 years, we have witnessed that. Probably since, probably for the past 22 years. I don't know if 9/11 would have been the start to some of this or some event beforehand. And of course, I'm just rambling right now, but I just feel like the events in my lifetime have become closer together and more intense. And so it is a very volatile world that we live in. So as we look at James 4, verses 13 through 17, I think that we can remind ourselves of how we should plan our day. So verse 13 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet not do it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We ask that you would convict us of our sins so that we could repent of them and to lay them down at your feet. We thank you for Jesus, who has paid the price of our sins, and that we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we have come into your family through a salvation, we pray for those that are yet to be saved. And there may be some that are listening to this podcast, and Lord, I ask that you convict them of their need of salvation. And if they need to be saved, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would touch their heart and that they would give their lives to you. And Father, for those of us that are saved, help us to be mindful of the fact that we ought to plan everything around you and through you and for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. So as we're looking at this passage, I want us to understand today that tomorrow is unknown. And that's what James is telling us. In verse 14, he says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes." You know, these verses that we've looked at, verses 14 through 17, they come right after James' discourse on pride, worldliness, and carnality. And you know, in those three things, pride, worldliness, and carnality, we plan out our own days. We do things on our own. We think about ourselves when we're thinking about what we will do or what we won't do. But we need to understand that tomorrow is indeed unknown. And so not only do we not know what tomorrow will bring, we don't even know if we will have tomorrow. Folks, as I mentioned earlier, I'll mention it again. As we're looking at events on the world stage, we don't even know if we will be on this earth tomorrow. Jesus could come back right now. He could come back while I'm recording this. He could come back while you're listening to it later. We just don't know if we will have tomorrow. And if we do have tomorrow, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Now, we can make plans. We've got things on the calendar. We've got appointments that we've made. However, we just don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Now, here in verse 14, we are described as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Our lives are short. They're very short. You know, I like to use the grill, and I like to smoke meat. And so anyway, when I'm smoking, whether some ribs or a Boston butt or whatever, that smoke comes out of the grill. But that smoke does not last forever. In fact, that smoke does not make it very far past the grill. It is there for a moment, and then it's gone. And that's how our lives are here on this earth. They're here for a moment, and then they're gone. And so we need to make the most of every day. And so the thought that our lives are like a vapor, that it's here and then it's gone, it just vanishes away, that life is short, it should evoke in us a sense of humility. In fact, we should be humbled by how finite we really are. We're fragile. You know, whether it would be an accident, a disease, or whatever it may be, folks, we're very fragile. We are not guaranteed the next breath. We're not guaranteed the next heartbeat. I've heard of people that run triathlons dying in the midst of triathlons. I've heard of, you know, babies having SIDS. I've heard of, you know, people getting cancer and it being aggressive and that they're here today and gone tomorrow. We just have no idea how long we have on this earth, and we don't know what tomorrow will hold. But thankfully, we know the one who has us and even tomorrow in his hand. We may not know what tomorrow is like, but the Lord knows. He knows if there will be a tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow if he allows a tomorrow to happen. And so we're in his hands. We need to entrust ourselves to him. And as we realize that, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow and that, you know, the things of tomorrow is unknown, we simply need to abide by the idea, if the Lord wills. In verse 15, James says, instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Now, earlier, I mentioned how I encountered some folks in the Middle East that would use the term if Allah wills as a cop-out to get out of something they may not want to do, or if they find something better that they would rather do, that they would go do that. We should never use the term if the Lord wills to cover ourselves if something better comes along or if we just decide we don't want to do something. We should only use this term if the Lord wills for how the Lord intends for us to use it. And here's how he intends for us to use it. It is a recognition that the Lord is in control and that we abide by his precepts. We abide by his commands. We abide by his teachings. We abide by his word. And we are obedient to him in all things. And so when we say, if the Lord wills, we are reminding ourselves of who we serve. We remind ourselves of who is in control. And we also remind ourselves that the future is unknown to us. And it is also a reminder to us of our humility before the Lord. And so as we use the term, if the Lord wills, in our speech, in our planning, in what we do, it reminds us to be dependent upon the Lord for not only the present, but the future as well. stating that our plans, our actions, and even our lives depend upon the Lord's will is the opposite of boasting. You know, in verse 14, he talks about not boasting in what we will or will not do in tomorrow. So, you know, going back to verse 13, rather, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. And so, you know, taking verse 13 and then looking also at verse 16, verse 16 says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. And so, our planning, our saying what we will do apart from the Lord is boasting. And rather than boasting in ourselves and our own plans, we need to boast in the Lord, and we need to subject ourselves to Him and be mindful that anything that we do is, first of all, because He has permitted it. He may not be sanctioning it, and He may not be causing it, but it is my understanding from Scripture that God has created us in His image. He has given us a will. He has given us the ability and the right to decide for ourselves whether or not we will follow the Lord. And too oftentimes, we follow ourselves, we follow our own hearts, we follow what we want to do, and we'll boast in what we can do, we'll boast in what we will do. But rather than doing this boasting, we need to bring all of that up underneath the Lord. And so our plans, our actions, and our lives depend upon the Lord's will. And when we say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. If the Lord wills, we'll do that. If the Lord wills, I'll be here tomorrow. We are subjecting ourselves underneath the Lord Jesus Christ. We're recognizing that He is in control, and that is the opposite of boasting. And so if we want to boast, our boasting must be in the Lord and in Him alone. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all of our adoration. He is worthy of our devotion, and He is the only one worthy. Now, as we close out this section of Scripture in verse 17, we see the sin of not doing. The sin of not doing. You know, a lot of the commands is do not do this. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, we've got all those do nots in the Ten Commandments, and it tells you not to do something. But here in verse 17, we see the sin of not doing. And so in verse 17, it says, so it is sin to know the good and yet not to do it. So to sum up what was said before verse 17, it is sin to know the good and yet not to do it. We must not just give lip service to the phrase, if the Lord wills. We must live it out. Our plans, our actions, our thoughts, even our lives are at the Lord's disposal. We give ourselves to the Lord. We must follow the Lord's will throughout our lives. We must not just be mindful that His will is best. We must live our lives as if we believe with all that we are that His will is indeed best. We must put action to what we say. Therefore, we will do the Lord's will. And if we don't know what the Lord's will is, we'll seek it out. We'll read Scripture. We'll find it. We'll find out what the Lord's will is through reading and through prayer. Now, as we think about that, as we think about following the Lord's will, we must be mindful of the divine appointments God puts in our path and take those opportunities to do what He is prompting us to do. You know, There may come a time when the Lord prompts you to share the gospel with somebody, and it does not fit in your time schedule. Guess what? If the Lord tells you to go share the gospel with somebody, whatever it is that's on your schedule can wait. It may be that the Lord is telling you, you know, you got your plans for the day to go and do whatever it may be. It's your day off. It's your day of rest. It's your day that you've had planned for a month that you're going to take this day and go have fun. And you wake up that morning and the Lord prompts you to go to somebody's house and do something for them. Do what the Lord tells you to do. You know, we need to follow the Lord's will in all things. And we need to also live our lives with the understanding and the outlook that whatever our plans are, they will only happen if the Lord wills. Let's be in much prayer for the world situation. And I think the best prayer that any of us can pray regarding this is, Lord, let your will be done. Let's pray. Father, as we pray together, we ask that your will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we pray for the people of Israel. We ask that you watch over them, that you protect them. Father, we pray for Palestinian civilians, those that are caught in the crossfire, those that are trapped in Gaza because Hamas wants to use them as human shields. Lord, I pray that they would see how awful that their own people are treating them, that they would realize that you love them, that your son died for their sin. We pray for their salvation. We pray for the salvation of the Israelites as well. And so, Lord, we ask that your will would be done. Lord, we have folks in our church that are dealing with cancer and dealing with lung issues and heart issues and dealing with family members that have gone astray. And so, Lord, we ask your will to be done in each of those situations. And Lord, help us as we think about life, as we think about planning, as we think about what we will do with our lives. Help us to include the words, if the Lord wills, but not as a word that is added simply because it's prescribed in Scripture, but that we would have an attitude that the Lord's will takes precedence over our own will, that we will only do what is planned if it is according to your will. And so, Lord, we ask that your will would be done here at First Baptist Church of Goshen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me for this study of James, and I hope that you have a great rest of the week. I don't know when you might be listening to this, but perhaps you're listening to it and you don't attend our church. If you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 for worship service. We are at 325 De La Pointe Drive or Road, something like that, in Goshen, Mississippi. Thank you and have a great day.